Welcome in, Eagles fans. Welcome to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. My name is Louis DiBiase. This is Locked On Eagles episode, June 25th edition of the podcast. Glad to have you back in as we start off the week. Today is Monday, once again, June 25th, and today we're going to be talking about a few different things. Should the Eagles retire Nick Foles' number? That's going to be a fun topic of discussion. And also, would the Super Bowl victory have been more enjoyable or less with Carson Wentz under center? So that's what we got on the dock for today. I am not alone today. We have, joining me today, right across in Studio A, in Buffalo, New York. We're far from the nest, but nonetheless, we bleed green just the same as all other Eagles fans. It's Lars Lewis, fellow Philadelphia Eagles fan and NFL analyst on The Blitz, which is a show here in Buffalo, New York on 91.3 FM WBNY. He covers the NFL draft and all things NFL as well as college football as he's part of the mainstream podcast up here called Blue Chippers. Lars Lewis, how you doing, my friend?
Man, you're just... drink it in, man.
Just living it up. I got my Randall Cunningham green jersey on that you got me for Christmas. Thank you for that, because this thing is an absolute beaut. We talked about jerseys actually a couple episodes ago. We were talking about what is allowed and what isn't allowed.
Yeah.
So I have a Carson Wentz Kelly green jersey, and I think it's okay to have new players on vintage jerseys.
Think about this. You're just preparing for what's going to happen
right.
in 2 years.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Some people think it's a vintage jersey with a current player on it, but eventually the Eagles are going to go to Kelly Green again, and it's the 1960s edition.
You're making an investment.
I'm making an investment for a long-term plan, eventually 2-3 years down the road when the NFL finally decides to let the Eagles wear two helmets. It's coming. So
you could then claim that I wore this before anybody else.
Exactly. But I'm rocking today the green Randall Cunningham. What I love about this one, too, is that this is one of the – see, I have the white Randall Cunningham jersey as well, but I bought it on the Eagles' official website, made right now.
It's part of the Reebok Legends edition
right.
that came out a
Whereas
few years ago.
Whereas this bad boy was literally made when Cunningham was starting for the Eagles,
which is awesome.
Little
backstory on this jersey. So I had this jersey for a while, and I gave it to Louis for Christmas last year. So I got this jersey – about 8 years ago. It was about like 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thumbing through a thrift store right by my house. And at that point, they weren't wise of actually putting the jerseys in the back rack and selling them for like 15 or 20 bucks the way they do now. So I was just thumbing through the racks and I saw this Randall Cunningham jersey. And I'm like, wow. Because it wasn't just a Randall Cunningham jersey. It had the old, thick... lettering,
yep.
the thick jersey, the wide sleeves, and I checked on the back tag. It was a company called Raven's Knit, and that company doesn't even exist anymore.
Right.
That was from the 80s.
So you know it's authentic.
So this jersey was the real deal, and it was rare that back then in the 80s you had a stitched football jersey with a name on the back, because then, before the Players Association, most of them didn't have names on the back. You had to get that special ordered. And that one had Cunningham on the back. And you want to know how much this cost?
How much?
This was $3.75.
See, I dropped $100 on the Legends edition. And having a Randall Cunningham jersey is the flashiest. It's the coolest Eagles jersey I think you can own right now. I mean, obviously, Carson Wentz is a great one. I see Donovan McNabb's, Brian Dawkins. But the hipster Eagles jersey, the one that you see current players wearing after games and stuff, it's Randall Cunningham, because he was the first... I don't know if he was like the first flashy quarterback, because, I mean, Frank Tarkenton was a mobile quarterback before Cunningham, but Cunningham was like the first legitimate new wave style of quarterback that we see nowadays, you know, where everyone basically, you have to be have some sort of mobility. And I feel like Randall Cunningham was that first guy that was huge. He had one of the biggest arms in the NFL, and he could move.
He was
elastic, man. Remember the Giants play where he gets hit, he falls down, but he stays up after one hand, throws a touchdown. He was before Michael Vick, before Cam Newton, before Carson Wentz. He was that electric playmaker at quarterback that just the league had never seen. So it's probably the coolest jersey you can own to me if I had to vote for one as an Eagles fan.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was the MVP of the league in 1990.
I don't think people realize just how good he was. And it kind of sucks for me being a younger Eagles fan. I kind of am disappointed that I didn't get to see him, because he probably would have been my favorite all-time player.
Now it makes the most sense as to why you put Joe Montana, number five of your list, in the top six.
So you listened to my podcast last week.
Yes,
or yesterday,
I did. I got a bone to pick with you about that.
Yeah, so if you didn't listen yesterday, we discussed where does Foles' playoff performance rank all time. I had Foles at, I think it was three, only behind Joe Flacco in 2012 and Eli Manning in 2011. And I understand Joe Montana's was probably legendary. It's just very hard for me to put him at the top when I'm only reading off the box score and I didn't watch it for myself. So I blame the age, but if you missed that show, you can check it out on LockedOnEagles.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere that you find your podcast. Please subscribe, rate, comment. We always appreciate that. Thank you for all the feedback listeners have been giving me. But yeah, go check that podcast out. That's a fun one. LockedOnEagles.com. We got all of them for you. But let's get in, Lars, today what we're going to be discussing and our first segment. Should the Eagles retire Nick Foles' number? This was a fun poll I put up yesterday on Twitter that got quite a bit of traffic. According to fans, 56% of you say no. The Eagles should not retire the number 9 for Nick Foles in the rafters. 44% of you, including myself, say yes. I'm very interested to get your take on this, because I guess it really, Lars, it depends on what you believe you have to do to get a jersey retired. You know, maybe you believe they had to be consistently dominant for your team over a long period of time, like Donovan McNabb or Brian Dawkins, which I think is fair. I would probably agree with that for the most part. I don't think you should just retire anyone's number. I mean, it really is a strange concept because eventually you could pretty much run out of numbers, right? I feel like eventually with how old franchises can get and you have legendary players.
Try being a New York Yankee.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to pick a number.
Right. There's
that.
Only so many numbers. So I understand not just wanting to retire anyone's. But Lars, with Nick Foles, he's had multiple playoff seasons for the Eagles. It wasn't just this 2017 Super Bowl run that Nick Foles has been a part of for the Eagles. Back in 2013 when he had that 27 touchdowns, two interceptions season, he left the field against the Saints in that wild card game in the lead. So, you know, I think what he did was incredible. It's something that McNabb, Jaws, nobody could do in their tenure with the Eagles, and that is win the first ever Super Bowl in Eagles history. So for him, I think it's an exception that how long he was with the Eagles and how long he's played. Because he'll forever be the guy that took the Eagles to their first ring. And he played elite doing it, too. It's not the same situation, you know, with the Giants when Phil Simms went down. And what was it, Hostetler?
Yeah, it was the
that
Hoss.
Took over. And the Giants had that crazy defense. You know, it was different. Foles was absolutely on fire. And he's been a part of pretty much two historic seasons now for the Eagles. One individual in 2013 and one team. So for me, that should be enough. What he did in those three games is iconic, and I think that's what it's all about when you retire someone's jersey. That's a player you'll always remember for what he did, his achievements for the team, and how much higher can you get than winning the Eagles their first ever title? I think they should retire it. I know it's not the popular opinion right now, but I'm putting 9 in the rafters. Is it bold?
More dumb. Than bold.
More dumb. Okay. You are strong against it.
Fit. Louis, you're a victim of the moment. You just saw them beat Tom Brady and the Patriots.
That's
the
point. He took down the dynasty, Lars. He took down the dynasty.
I understand that, but you're going to retire Joe Flacco's number for what he did in the playoffs for Baltimore to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
No.
The Ravens aren't retiring Joe Flacco's number 5?
I don't feel like they should. If you,
I don't know.
If you want your number retired, you got to do something extraordinary for a vast amount of time. I mean, just think about it. You know how long it took guys like it took Bruce Smith to get his jersey retired by the Bills? It took him almost 20 years when he was out of the league to get his number retired. And he was the best defensive end in league history.
Well, obviously I'm not saying now, but down the road.
I know that people in Philadelphia would be mad at me because there was a guy named Reggie White, God rest his soul, that played in Philadelphia. But nonetheless, I get it. He had an historic playoffs. He beat Tom Brady to win the Super Bowl. He's had two insane seasons in Philadelphia. But two seasons does not a number retiree make.
But you I guess it's a philosophy of what it takes to retire a number.
I need a guy who's been there his whole career or most of his career.
Okay.
And has been there and has won a lot of games. And was a mainstay.
So
that's
your one criteria for it.
Yeah, I need a guy that's been there and has been the guy.
Okay,
a while.
I agree with that. That's what the majority of players that get their numbers retired should be. You know, there's the, but I feel like it's situational for each player. I think a jersey retiring is a celebration of a player for different reasons. It could be an extended amount of period of time with that team and their success. But if it's a player that caught lightning in a bottle and won your team a championship for the first time, and the fans adore him, it wouldn't just be about retiring Nick Foles' number, but it would be about re-celebrating the Super Bowl victory again, you know, down the road when they do it. Like you said with Bruce Smith, he didn't get his number retired for a while. What if, you know, 15, 20 years down the road, Nick Foles, they decide to retire Nick Foles' number, and then you get to relive that 2017 magic when they first won a Super Bowl. Who knows? Maybe they have three or four at the time, but then we go back and... So it's not just retiring Foles' number, but it's also re-celebrating the title. Because I don't think... just not just anyone's going to get their number retired that was a part of the Super Bowl title, but he's a quarterback, which does have an extended amount of weight to it, and it's the way he did it, who he beat, the story, the Philly special.
And the fact that who he is, the guy was basically left for dead.
It's an incredible story.
In St. Louis.
Yeah. Retiring a jersey is also, it's a story about a player that will forever be enshrined in Eagles history. And no matter what, that's what Nick Foles is going to be a part of because he was the first guy to do it. So that's, to me, is what it should be about, is when you think about the history of a franchise, who do you remember? And to me, Nick Foles is going to be one of those guys, despite the amount of time he played with the team, despite being traded from that same organization and having hiccups throughout his career and coming up as a backup. And yeah, he only played, it was three playoff games, it was, but he beat an elite defense in the NFC Championship game. He blew them out of the water, and then he outscored Tom Brady.
I say it was more of the Philly defense that was wreaking
havoc. That was part of it,
Minnesota.
But Nick Foles dropping it in a bucket against the Vikings for that flea flicker to Torrey Smith, the Alshon Jeffrey bomb. I'm just saying, I think that I understand your criteria. I think your criteria is right, but I think you have to have, I think there should be a number of different factors to it, not just he had to have played for 15 years and consistently went to the playoffs. I think it's what you remember about the team and the player, and if he's memorable enough and he won you a championship, I think that's enough for me.
I get it, and I just think it kind of spits in the face of the other guys that came before him that, one, were there longer, two, were better players. And
well,
three,
maybe Donovan McNabb shouldn't have choked in the NFC Championship
game. No, I didn't specify
four different
him.
Times.
I'm saying, like, Brian Dawkins, guys like, you know, him, and Reggie White already has his number retired, I believe. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Guys like them that were mainstays and were elite players for those teams for a long time and were the reasons why those teams were great. I get it. Nick Foles did something that nobody walking this planet outside of the Eagles locker room would have ever imagined, and what he did in those playoffs. I just don't think that if about 15, 20 years down the road, when they celebrate this first ever Super Bowl championship, when it's like either the silver anniversary, maybe even the 10-year anniversary.
Okay.
Sure, honor him. If you put him in a ring of honor, I just wouldn't retire his uniform.
So he should be in the ring of honor, but
yes.
Not the shouldn't be retired.
I will go for that. If you want to put him in the ring of honor, absolutely. He's got every right to be there with what he did.
Are you
playoffs.
For a statue outside the Lincoln Financial Field? The Philly special statue. Are you for that?
Philly special statue? Absolutely. I would. Because it's
But it's Nick Foles moment. Catching the football, though, in the end zone. So it's basically a Nick Foles statue.
It's
what has more weight to it, a Nick Foles statue or Nick Foles having his jersey retired? How much more weight does a jersey retirement have? Why not just go all the way?
I would rather have the statue because it represents a play. Like Burton and Foles are in that statue. It's like the Steve Gleason statue in New Orleans.
Okay.
When they made that block against Atlanta in the first game in the Superdome. That was like an historic thing because that was something the city needed. The Philly special was what Philadelphia needed. And I think that is the most, right now, is the most iconic moment in Eagles history. Is
it
that
is. Absolutely.
Touchdown.
100%.
And I'll do that. I'll put him that in the Ring of Honor. But retiring his jersey, I think it's a different aspect. It's a different animal. I think you would have to be the man to be there and have done that for your entire career in order to have that honor. Retiring a jersey is a bit of a different animal compared to just putting your name on a Ring of Honor. Or even a statue that represents a play.
So are you for, I mean, because we, even in hockey, I think back, you know, Tim Horton passed away, and he was a defenseman. He played for the Bruins, the Maple Leafs, the Buffalo Sabres, and he has his jersey retired for the Sabres.
That was because it was
he only played for 2 years. So are you okay with those kind of numbers being retired?
I am, because it was a tragic event when he was still playing, and he was a really good player.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, even things like that, I think there's different factors to retiring a number. That's all I'm saying. I mean, the majority of people agree with you. 56% said no. They don't think Nick Foles' number should get retired. 44%, though, did say yes. So it's not like it's 80-20. There is a significant amount of Eagles fans that would love number 9 going up there.
I'm not totally shutting down the thing.
All right.
Like, if it happens, okay, it happens. But I personally, I just don't feel like I would do it. You know what I would do instead? I would take his number out of circulation. I would not have anyone wear number 9 again. But I would not formally retire it.
See, they kind of
did that with Thurman Thomas for a while.
See, the Eagles did that kind of with Brian Westbrook, but then Jay Ajayi took number 36 this year, which kind of gives it a little less weight if you ever decide to retire Westbrook's number.
Did he request that?
He probably did. But
I would say that would be the case. Like, if someone wants to wear number 9, they have to get Foles' permission to wear it.
But see, Westbrook, and this might be an unpopular opinion, Westbrook was a really good player for the Eagles for a long time, but I mean, I probably wouldn't retire his number. I think you had to have done something really significant for the team or was dominant for a long period of time. So
Brian Dawkins, retired.
Right.
Definitely.
And he is. And McNabb absolutely deserves it. But I think because of what Nick Foles did, even though it was a short period of time, the amount of weight to his accomplishments, because it was the first one ever, that's why I would throw it up in the rafters. I totally get your point. I love these kind of discussions, and it's fun because we're not talking about, you know, what the Eagles have to do to get to 9-7 this year.
If I had a choice between retiring my number and having a statue, I'd rather have a statue. Because then you're there forever. You're never going away then.
All right, Lars, so let's get into the second segment here of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Would the Super Bowl victory in 2017. Lars, did you know the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2017? I make sure I mention it in every episode, at least once, and that's my drop right
there. I've only been hearing it the last 15 minutes.
And you're going to hear about it for the next...
Nick Foles is uniform.
And you're going to hear about it for the next 50 years, or until... even when they win the next Super Bowl, everyone's going to love this one. Yes, as long as you'll know me, I'll bring this one up. Would the Super Bowl victory have been more enjoyable or less with Carson Wentz under center? So let's pretend that he dives into the end zone against the Rams. He doesn't get hit by both players. His leg is fine. He ends up starting throughout the playoffs. Same thing, same outcome. They beat the Falcons, beat the Vikings, and then they take down the Pats. Carson Wentz takes down Tom Brady. Would that have been more or less exciting for the Eagles? We'll go to the poll. 60% of you said more exciting. 40% of you said less. I was kind of surprised. I thought because of the whole underdog factor, because of the whole unexpected run, you know, the Jason Kelce speech at the parade with the whole underdog mentality, I thought maybe people would have thought it was a more exciting run because of what they had to go through. But Carson Wentz is beloved in Philly, Lars. You know, I'm torn with this when it comes to it, because I would defend Carson to the ends of the earth. You know this. You absolutely know this.
I've only known since they drafted
him. Even before they drafted him, when we used to get into it about, oh, he didn't play for an official D1 school. You know, you obviously were still on the side of, you also were a big Carson Wentz supporter at North Dakota State, but, you know, some of the guys we would debate with during our draft process.
Certainly loved him way more than Goff.
Yeah, they
much.
Weren't all in on Carson Wentz. So I've been, even in his North Dakota days, I was all for Wentz. So, and it's not just me, Lars. I don't know if you've noticed this, but he has poked a button for Eagles fans. He has initiated their soft side that we have never seen before with Philadelphia. What's Philadelphia's motto, Lars, basically? Like, what do you think of when you think of Philly sports fans?
Rabid.
Exactly.
Rabid.
But with Carson Wentz, they all melt. I don't think I've ever seen an Eagles player or a Philadelphian athlete that the fan base is so in love with. They never treat him, even McNabb, like this. McNabb is the best quarterback in Eagles history, probably.
I think it's crazy that
they always criticized him.
I think it's crazy that they love both Foles and Wentz. They
right.
Like both quarterbacks.
And Wentz will never have to buy a beer again in the city of Philadelphia. That's what I meant, Foles. And Wentz probably won't have to either. But that's what's funny about it, is that's why I'm not at all. I mean, I'm a little surprised, but I'm not totally shocked that 60% say more exciting, just because of how much Philadelphia loves Carson.
You know why? Because he's the man.
Right.
He's the man. He was the reason why they got there in the first place.
Well, he was the star
of
it all.
Also, he's the guy that everyone says, okay, we're going to jump on his back and we're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's what people said when they drafted him.
Because the minute you proclaim him to be the franchise guy, you move up not only from 13 to 8, but then you get up from 8 to 2 to select Carson Wentz, and you trade away Sam Bradford and make him the guy immediately. We were invested in him. And so although Nick Foles was the one to do it, we were all convinced that this team rides and dies with Carson Wentz.
Because it sure as hell looked a lot better than Mark Sanchez.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. And it would have been amazing for Wentz to finish it, if you ask me. So I would have rather had Wentz under center, especially with the type of season he was having and how it would feel to pretty much, you know, like silence the draft critics, right? The Kian Fahey's of the world. That's not even available on Twitter, by the way. He is not on Twitter. But
hey,
the huge critics of Carson Wentz. He wins a Super Bowl in year two. And let's even go to last year, the whole Wentz versus Dak Prescott debates. I know the Cowboys fans really have nothing left right now to debate with Eagles fans at. They're only throwing out the 5 Super Bowl ring debate.
When's the last time they won one? Was
right. It was, I think dinosaurs were still roaming the earth, Lars.
Hey.
But, you know, you think about it, and that's over, too. Because it would have been a little bit sweeter, even though the Eagles won a Super Bowl, and we can rub it in Cowboys' faces now. Like, you can't say how many rings you got anymore.
When you think about it,
it would have been better though if it was Wentz to do it, because Cowboys fans were all it was Prescott versus Wentz all offseason last year, and if Wentz would have been the one to get a ring in his second year, it would have ended it already. So it would have been a little bit sweeter. So that's another factor to this that I didn't consider.
You were also saying, dinosaurs walked the earth when the last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, they still are, because Jerry Jones is still the owner.
Oh, that's right. Good one. I like you taking shots at Cowboys fans. You're going to fit right in. I think Eagles fans are going to like you on the pod.
I will not hesitate at all. Bear with me here. This is the first time you've heard me on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. For anyone that is listening, and it will listen, I want to make this very clear. You know, being from Buffalo, New York, I admit it. I've had a spot for the Bills for a lot of my life. I know the history of this team. I know what the Cowboys did to them in those 2 Super Bowls. Believe me, in this town, they hate Dallas almost as much as you do. Like, people outside of Philly think Philly has the worst fans in football. No.
Which simply isn't true.
It's Dallas.
Dallas has got
Dallas
a bad group of
them. Dallas has the worst football fans in the entire league. They are in a tie with them and the Raiders in Oakland.
You're going to fit right in here, Lars.
Exactly. Birds.
So, but then Lars is the underdog side to this, you know? There wouldn't be that unexpected, amazing ride. And I'm not going to lie to you. I think in the second half of the season when the Eagles just went on that run, after they beat the Panthers and they went to 5-1, I think it was clear this team was elite. And they rolled through the Niners. Remember, they blew out the Bears. I was at the Redskins Monday Night Football game where they just absolutely trounced Kirk Cousins and the Redskins. And none of the games were close.
I think it was also because the defense finally got stabilized and then
I mean, the point is that they were just so dominant. It took away I don't want to say it took away the excitement of the season, but pretty much expecting them to win every single game.
It
takes out a little bit of the fun.
It also helped that Lane Johnson was healthy.
Absolutely.
He plays such a
pivotal role
on this team.
Outside of games, every game he's played in the last 2 years, he was suspended last year 10 games. They've only lost 3 times in 2 seasons when Lane Johnson is playing right tackle.
You want a difference maker, that's him.
Yeah, but so I'm not going to lie. It was a little less exciting for me.
Just seeing them blow the doors off everyone?
I don't want to say that because I sound so spoiled, because I did enjoy every single game, and it wasn't always like that. The Seahawks game was close, and they ended up losing that one. The Rams game was amazing, even though Wentz got hurt, and I will forever be sad when I think of that game. It was an incredible, thrilling game between 2 NFC powerhouses, so they weren't all like that, but I do get the side
of
people saying that they enjoyed the underdog story more because you went into the playoffs not really expecting anything. Everyone picked the Falcons to win that first game. The Vikings, every single time, the Eagles were not the favorite to win it, and they ended up doing it. And the way they did it, losing all these players, having Nick Foles come back, a player that the story is amazing. He was once supposed to be the Eagles franchise quarterback, ends up getting traded away, almost quits football. He was pretty much done with it. Then the Chiefs bring him back in as a backup, and then suddenly he just catches lightning in a bottle again and wins the Eagles a title. So there wouldn't have been that whole Jason Kelce. I mean, I'm sure there still would have been a fun speech, but I think the underdog mentality, it would have went away, which this team, this 2017 Eagles roster, the way they won, I think, emulates the city of Philadelphia. It represents what the city is all about far more than maybe a team with Carson Wentz under center would have, because it's that gritty underdog mentality. And I think the city of Philadelphia liked that, and it was a team that we could get on board with. So it's a cool side of it that the Eagles probably wouldn't have had. But again, Carson Wentz was the guy, and I think that whole me expecting them to win every single game would have went away the minute that the playoffs started, because look at Dak Prescott the year before in Dallas. He dominated the regular season, but then the minute you get into the playoffs, it's a different animal. Lars, it's a different beast, and although he played really well against the Packers and almost brought them back, my mentality would have immediately, all that expected blowouts would have went out the window, because the Eagles have not won a playoff game before this season since 2008. So I wouldn't have expected anything, especially even though as good as Carson Wentz was, even if he would have won NFL MVP, you know, he could have threw for 40 touchdowns last year. He was still a second-year quarterback in the playoffs, and it's a different animal.
I
still wouldn't have been expecting it. So it, for me, even if Wentz was playing, it still would have been an amazing ride that would have been just as enjoyable.
I remember after that Rams game, you looked dead inside.
I thought it was over, Lars. I'm not going to lie. I'll be real with you. I did, and Nick Foles didn't do anything to convince me throughout the regular season after that. The Giants game, although he threw a bunch of touchdowns, he wasn't consistently a guy that you said, yeah, this is a player we can get to the Super Bowl with. And he struggled against the Cowboys in that first half, week 17.
Yeah, but that game meant nothing.
No, but the Raiders game, though, on Christmas, he struggled through that game, too. The defense won them that game. And without the defense playing as well as they did, without Darby getting that interception to seal it, the Eagles probably don't get home field advantage. And do they win the Super Bowl? I don't know. If they got to go to Atlanta or Minnesota, although they blew out Minnesota, so they probably still win it.
Might have been a bit of a different game.
It could have been a different outcome. So, you know, they would have had to play inside, and it could have been different. So I'm not gonna lie, I thought it was over, but I think that's why it's part of the fun. I'm very torn. I'm gonna say my answer is, I think it would have been still a little bit more exciting with Carson Wentz under center, because that was my guy, that was our guy, and again, we wouldn't have expected them to run the table. Even as good as they were in the regular season, you got to know how different the playoffs were. So I'd like to believe that it would have been just as unexpected and just as thrilling. That's my side. What about you?
I agree with that for the most part, but I would actually say it is slightly less exciting.
Okay.
If Carson Wentz was the quarterback, because
I respect that.
Let's put it this way. For those 13 games, let's say that Carson Wentz plays the entire way and they get to the Super Bowl. Well, the way we saw it at the start of the season, we knew who Carson Wentz was. We knew what this guy's about. We know he has the talent. And he'd come in there, and yes, is it a slight David versus Goliath because he's playing Tom freaking Brady and the Patriots? Yes.
I think that would have been cool, though, too. It would have been the passing of the torch.
Let me continue here.
That's me.
That's great. It's great about it.
Yeah.
But literally, Nick Foles is the absolute embodiment of David.
That's
true. The man was almost out of football. The guy basically left St. Louis in shame. And then he left Kansas City. He was contemplating his future. You know what this is? This kind of reminds me of the start of Rocky II when Balboa is in the hospital with Apollo Creed. Rocky says he doesn't want to fight again. He never wanted to fight again after that because he went the distance against Apollo Creed. Nick Foles, after that offseason with Kansas City, was Rocky in that hospital. He's like, do I want to continue playing football? He began doubting himself. And then he gets signed by
That's
the
when
Eagles.
He played with Jeff Fisher. He realized, I'm done doing this.
Exactly. So then he ends up signing with Philadelphia. Maybe he's got a little renewed hope in his love for the game.
Right.
He becomes a backup to Carson Wentz, who's going to be this absolute star. And he was for those 13 games. And then guess what? Just like in Rocky IV, Carson Wentz is Apollo Creed, right? Because he's the man. He goes down.
Mm.
Nick Foles.
Spoiler alert for people that haven't seen Rocky IV yet. I don't know. I don't know if you have to do spoiler alerts for a movie made in the 70s, but
85.
I'm doing it. I'm 85. Sorry, I'm doing it anyway.
So then, Nick Foles is Rocky now, and he sees Tom Brady as Drago, and that's how it felt to me. Was like Nick Foles is basically a nobody at this point, and he comes in, just wreaks havoc against the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC Championship, nobody saw that coming. Because people were thinking Minnesota, after that big win against New Orleans, this was going to be a clash of the Titans.
They were going to ride right through that, right?
And it was going to be a tight game all the way through. Philly just basically booted that entire ship and put it all the way back to Minneapolis. So he gets to the Super Bowl, and he's got to face Drago.
You're swaying me. I'm very torn on this.
And Nick Foles has the game of his life against the superhuman quarterback that doesn't age.
Mm-hmm. 373 yards, 3 touchdowns for Nick Foles that game, and a receiving touchdown.
He basically did it all. And the best part about it, he had no turnovers.
No, I get that. Yeah, but for me, I don't know. That's why I'm going back and forth with which would have been more memorable. The passing of the torch, basically Wentz taking down Brady, or Nick Foles in the underdog story. I'm going to side with Wentz because it would have been just as exciting for me, but because I think it's too a part of this is that Carson Wentz is going to be with the team throughout the future. So even though we won that first Super Bowl, it's like it's building on something. And although it still is, with Wentz under center, you know that it's going to be building something, that this is like the start of a new dynasty. But without Wentz ended up being the one that played in the Super Bowl, without him playing in that game, we don't know if this is the start of a dynasty because Carson Wentz is still yet to play in a playoff game. And that it's a different animal. So if that's another part of this, is it would have been more helpful probably for Wentz to be the one to win it, because Nick Foles outside of this year won't be with the Eagles. He'll be a free agent starting somewhere else.
Helpful, yes.
Yeah.
Storyline, I'd have to buy into Foles because it was a literal miracle.
It was.
It was a miracle.
Either way, it would have been fun. I'm not trying to make it seem like what happened wasn't totally incredible, because it was the greatest moment of my life.
Yeah, if you doubt it, just go to his pinned tweet on
his
Twitter
feed. Exactly. If you
want to
see what
reaction.
My reaction was, if you're doubting my excitement, just go to @DiBiaseLOE. Thank you, Lars, for the shameless plug. And thank you, sir, for joining us today on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. It was good to have you on. Hopefully we'll have you on in the future.
Oh, I would absolutely love to. And shout out to everybody out in Philadelphia. It's really fun being on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. Listen to this guy. The guy knows more about Eagles football than I probably know more about my own life.
Thank you. I appreciate that. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast, June 25th edition. If you missed any of our shows, make sure you subscribe. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and of course, as always, Locked On Eagles podcast, or LockedOnEagles.com. My name is Lou DiBiase, your host. Follow me on Twitter @DiBiaseLOE. Please comment, rate, subscribe. We will see you tomorrow. Graham Barfield of Fantasy Guru is going to join us tomorrow. We're going to be talking about fantasy football and some of the better options for you when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles in fantasy football, and some players maybe on the offense you want to avoid. Is Jay Ajayi a guy you want to commit to as a running back too? All that and more. That's tomorrow. Keep it locked. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you, and let's go Birds.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.